response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Da-da-da. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Happy St. Patrick's Day, buddy.
Right back at you, buddy.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, female buddy.
Thanks. Same back to you. That was... It's been a long weekend.
We talk for
Same
a living.
Back
oh,
to you.
You're going to tell me it's been a long weekend? Long weekend?
You look like you're ready to go again this morning.
I actually feel pretty good.
Yeah, you're all Irished out.
What do you mean Irished out? I'm just wearing...
You have a... Amerks Irish jersey and a shamrock hat.
Okay, I got my shamrock hat that I wear on a pretty regular basis. This jersey is might be my favorite jersey I have.
So it's a shamrock Amerks jersey with the moose pissed off with the stick.
Okay, it's a
sweet jersey.
Cartoon moose over a shamrock, right, the mascot. It's a Randy Cunningworth jersey.
Oh, you didn't tell me it was a Cunny.
He's a local icon.
I know, and I'm looking at a complete Cunny.
Oh, that and more on a great St. Patrick's Day show.
You ruined St. Patrick's Day now.
I'm just saying, you know, good radio would be good. We already started with right back at two and good.
Right back to ya.
Right down. We call that college intern we were just talking about. Let him do the damn show. It is 35 degrees right now. The high is 46, but we already hit it.
Oh.
So we are looking at a max of 37 degrees around 4 or 5.
So it's going down today.
Yeah, it's a Tommy's mom kind of weather day, but... The good news, all up in her. Nope.
Yeah, got it.
We're looking at 60 and 70 of highs the next couple of days.
All right.
So, luck of the Irish, 30 degrees today, but everything else,
okay,
beautiful. Okay, so, Kimmy, you said you had a long weekend.
Yep.
Because you were out at the parade.
Out and about on Saturday.
So here's what I love about Kimmy and her new life as a firefighter's wife.
Oh, that's right.
Right, because your husband joined the fire department 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Rochester Fire Department.
3, yeah.
So for those who don't know, if you are a family member of a first responder, police officer, ambulance, firefighter, you are, it's an obligation that you go down to the parade and have a good time.
You support.
Yeah, because they all march in the parade.
Yeah, yeah, so they get down there super early.
Yep, so now it's on you, much like the wives waited for the astronauts when they went to the moon, to hang out at the bar. Yeah,
Girls always had their hair done.
And wait for your husband to get back.
Sure.
So I saw your husband at the parade.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about something in a second.
Was he pulling one of the trucks?
No, that was the face he made when he remembered he had to go see Kimmy afterwards. Where'd you guys end up hanging out?
We were going to work our way down, but then we heard the bars were so packed. They were like, maybe we just posed up here because I don't think we're getting in anywhere else.
It's a good plan.
So we were up at the corner on Murphy's Law there.
And you met a whole bunch of people down there.
Oh, sure did.
Yeah?
Yep. What?
Nothing. So drinking with firefighters and cops and ambulance folks on St. Patrick's Day, it's a learned experience. Are you fully in on it yet, Kimmy?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been around it long enough to get how it works.
Okay, understood.
You know?
Because we talked about this last week about family taking kids into bars, and the reason that I went and did that stuff when I was a kid is because I was following around my old man and all his buddies, right? It was just something I became accustomed to. I love how bored he is because he didn't leave his house this weekend. Everybody in Rochester was down at this parade. It was packed. It was such a good time.
You didn't have any FOMO at all, nothing?
No, I power washed my patio.
Which is kind of Irish.
And I rolled out the grill.
Did you at least drink a Guinness or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Check me out. I'm a commercial Irishman.
I do my normal.
I
have my Guinnesses on the weekend and I drink every night. So, yeah.
Okay. So
nothing out of the ordinary.
So Kimmy and I were at opposite ends of the parade. You were where it started.
Yeah.
We were down where it ended in front of the Hyatt. You know, so my family, we get a hotel room Friday and Saturday night every year. That way we just wake up right in front of the parade.
Okay.
Ready to roll. Perfect. Kids. My brother brings his kids down. My sister brings her kids down. We meet a bunch of our friends down there. It's just a blast.
A lovely time.
You got it. And then we take our cooler and we bring it down on the street.
Okay.
And the important thing to do, I mean, this is just a Duffy tradition with anything, but with St. Patrick's Day especially, you always bring more than you need just in case somebody else needs.
Yeah.
Right? So as the parade is going on with our job, we know a lot of people that are marching in the parade.
Yeah.
And, you know, that walk can take a lot out of you.
Oh, sure.
You got to hydrate. So I am always offering beers to people that we know.
To the paraders.
Yeah, people that we know personally. Because yeah. we want to be like throwing beers at people. And I've decided this year, I can tell who's cool based on who takes a beer.
Oh, all right.
Let me give you an example.
All right.
So Kimmy's husband walking with the fire department. Mm-hmm. You know, I see him there. He comes over. Big old hug. Big guy hug. And there's nothing better than a big guy hug. You wouldn't understand.
No, I know. You were into it even when you were a kid.
Yeah.
That's how I got you in the car.
Why? Did you have another big guy with you?
Yeah, remember? His name was Tiny.
I would have hugged that man forever if I could. So I got the beer. Yeah. And I go to hand it to her husband. Yeah. And he has this horrified look on his yeah. face, right?
Well, he's not allowed to drink while he's marching.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's also he's only been there 2 years, so that might have been the problem. Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, I mean,
not enough time.
He was following all the protocol. Okay. But he's like, oh, and he went to take it and put it in his pocket, like, because I think he felt the peer pressure. I was like, no, it's cool, man. I'll take it back. I'll find you later. Dan Mason, general manager for the Rats and the Red Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
He's marching down the street.
Okay.
And I see him. We're talking yeah. for a second. I go to hand him a beer, and he's like, oh, no. So I learned lame.
Mm.
Dan Mason, general manager of the Rats and the Red Wings, lame.
Okay.
Kimmy's husband. Lame. Everyone else who now I don't want to say who took beers because it seems you're not supposed to take beers during the parade.
Okay.
Cool. Like, I gained a certain level of new respect for people based on who took the beers.
So, in the parade.
Yes.
I can remember guys marching that parade and having beers.
You're not allowed
well,
to openly.
Radio people, I get it.
Well, you're not allowed to openly drink on the street.
Technically.
Which right. is why
but
we
I always
bring,
thought they kind of looked away because people always drank on the street.
I always bring the red Solo cups just to not be. Yeah. I didn't see, like, cans on the street. Everyone that was drinking okay. had it in something else.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe people don't want to.
Probably just... the Solo cup, yeah.
I do find that funny, right? Like, you know what's in my cup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're not fooling anybody.
And it's not
now
like
you need... can openly see it.
And now, you know, it's not like you need a warrant to look into my cup.
Right.
And, like, don't get me wrong. I don't know what it was on your side of the street. With us, it was just, it was nothing but a blast. There were no problems. Everyone was having yeah. fun. Everything was relaxed. Like, there's something about the St. Patrick's Day Parade that is different than any other festival or thing that we
well,
do
it's
here.
Unique, for sure.
Well, why do you say that?
Because it's celebrating one group of people, and it's mostly just a big street party.
Well, that's just
what do you
it.
Think? Like the percentage of actually Irish
people
are that go to the parade, celebrate, drink.
Well, I bet it's low compared to like the crowd you get.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, there were so many Irish immigrants, and especially in this town. Like, you know, everybody's Italian. If you've been here for a while, you're a little bit Italian, a little bit Irish, and a little bit German.
All right.
That's just how it works.
Yeah.
So, Kimmy, to answer your question, I think that a lot of people have a tiny bit of Irish heritage.
But I don't think it even matters. People just go down there for the party.
Yeah, and everybody's welcome.
Right.
Right. But I think that's what the difference is between St. Patrick's Day Parade compared to all the other parades and all the other festivals. Because they're fun. The other ones yeah. are fun, don't get me wrong.
Full of loose redheads.
But there is something about the camaraderie, and I don't know what it is, about St. Patrick's Day where everybody has a smile on their face.
Yes.
Everybody's talking to everybody. It's just, it's never long enough. The parade is never long enough.
Yeah, but it's long enough.
Shut up.
Because y'all couldn't handle
it. Oh, y'all couldn't handle
it. Because y'all hung over
y'all
the next
hung
day.
Over, couldn't handle it.
Y'all
man,
dragging ass.
This man who's washing his patio.
I can't wait for Black Monday.
252 degrees.
Y'all dragging.
Who was dragging? I was out until like 8 o'clock that night. Went out to Johnny's, watched some music. That was awesome.
Man, didn't you get enough?
No, I just said it's around. Never
like, the
longer.
One thing I don't need is extra Irish music.
Well,
once I've been immersed in it for the day, I don't need to settle down for some more Irish music at night.
I love Irish music.
I know you do.
It's the story of my people.
It is. I get it.
Shut up. Your dad played the mandolin. You dad played the mandolin. Shut up.
But a mandolin is pleasant.
No, it's not. It sounds like Eddie Van Halen.
Bruce Hornsby.
Tooting.
Greatest mandolin player of all time.
He had one song with Ray. And by the way, the mandolin sucks so hard he was trying to drown it out. Mandolin Rain. No, Johnny's was great, man.
I like Johnny's.
I liked it. When's the last time you went to Johnny's?
Last time I went to Johnny's was when he first went. He was the first bar in Rochester that went smokeless.
Yeah.
And it was the last time I was there. Not because of that. It was like our last.
Hey, if I can't smoke here, I ain't coming.
No, it was a CMF event.
Right,
I like the guy. He's a nice guy.
No, I understand he's a nice guy. I'm just saying, you're going to sit here and tell me about a place you ain't been to in 30 effing years.
Bro, it ain't changed.
The people have changed.
Yeah. Not as cool as it used to be.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
no.
you were even able to get into an Irish bar at that time. Because
who,
everyone we drove past was just wall-to-wall people, lines to get in, people outside.
No, I mean, yeah, it was shoulder-to-shoulder, yeah. But, I mean, it was worth it. It was a good time.
No, sure.
And, I mean, look, I want my kids to have the same experience I had when I was growing up. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, what do they think of it? I mean, do they think it's lame?
So, at that point,
they got to be getting sick of it by that time of the day.
My kids love St. Patrick's Day, yeah. But I think it's more because, like, it's a big family event.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their cousins are there, their grandpa's there, mom, dad, and uncle. Yeah, exactly. But... Okay, I'll be honest with you. By the time we got to Johnny's, it was like...
As a kid?
5, 6 o'clock.
Oh, I'm done.
They were shot. Yeah. They were exhausted. But they rallied. They had fun. We went to Merchants next door, grabbed something to eat. It was a good time.
All right. Fun.
Shut up.
Nah,
shut
it's good,
up.
Good for you.
Why don't you come down one of these days?
I've been down, man.
You ain't been, man.
I've been years ago.
Your wife would have such a good time.
Yeah, and I don't want to start that.
What do you... What a
you
dick.
You don't want to start a good time?
We went down a couple of times.
You've never been with your wife?
Yes.
What, to the parade?
Yeah, the last time we went, it was pouring rain. I had to go get that intern.
Oh, yeah, because that guy took the mandolin out.
Yes. Yeah, we've been. But we're also old, man. Like, the charm is worn off.
Bro, everybody around me was older than you.
And they're loud and they're drunk. I get that by myself.
Like, you're the human rain cloud. Because, like, even the most miserable prick.
Yeah.
Can have a good time at the St. Patrick's Day parade, and somehow you don't.
Like, I sat on I power washed my patio, I fired up a cigar, I poured myself a nice drink, listened to a little jazz. It was like a beautiful night outside, grilled out. It was like a perfect night.
That sounds awesome.
I don't need, you know, I don't need a million yews.
A million yews? Is that French
news.
For a million?
Yes.
A million yews. So we got Italian mandolin, French numbers, and an Irish parade.
Yes.
Talking about the St. Patrick's Day parade on Saturday. Kimmy, how late did you guys make it?
So we went and grabbed a bite to eat down like the Winton neighborhood, probably around 5, 6 o'clock.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Was your husband getting hit on when you weren't around?
I don't know. I wasn't around.
Okay. Well, you from a distance, I'm saying.
I don't know. Okay. No, I didn't see it, but it could happen.
You don't pay attention?
It was so packed and everywhere we went. If he stepped like 5 feet away from me, he disappeared.
Okay. What, is your husband the kind of guy who would tell you if a woman palmed his ass in the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Out of bragging, though.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Would you say something to that woman?
Nah.
How far would she?
Oh, there'd be a meeting in the ladies' room.
Well, tell me.
They couldn't even get into the ladies' room. There's a line.
Yeah, they were all making out with her husband in there. No, Tommy, the reason I ask is firefighters very popular on St. Patrick's
Day. It's a big woman fantasy.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they got those, you know, the dress outfits on with them hats and the gloves. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had the, I guess, those white gloves.
Yeah. He's looking delicious. I saw him.
All right.
How far, Kimmy,
would
a woman have to go before you would step in?
It would have to be the point where my husband's uncomfortable.
So there is nothing they can do if your husband doesn't look at you where you wouldn't say or do anything?
I would only do something if he wanted me to.
So you're going
to
tell me. All right.
I'm not starting a fight with somebody over something that's not going to matter later
on. What would that be? I'm trying to think, like, where's the line at a bar that she would cross, that woman would cross?
All right, so let me put it this way. You know, I wear my kilt.
Yeah.
Always have. When I was a younger man.
I don't want to know what's happening. No,
is the word penetration going to
No penetration.
Okay.
There have been several
times.
I'm
just asking.
There have been several
just a wee bit of penetration. In your brown shamrock.
There have been. There have been a handful of times before my wife was in the picture.
Well, you were a kid.
18, 19, 20.
And those were club owners.
When, in my kilt, there would be older women that would just straight up go underneath.
Wait, and grab your balls?
To see what I was wearing. That's and so back weird. Then, yeah.
Man, that is
that's strange.
That is so effing rude.
I'm not. Yeah, no kidding.
Like, your bare balls would be in some old bag's hand.
Oh, yeah. They got a handful. And
by the way, that would also hurt.
I feel like you need to talk to somebody about this.
Well, I mean, look, it is what it is, right?
Like, didn't it hurt?
Because
you come in hard, man.
Well, no, there wasn't a squeeze. It was
but
just
still
a touch.
Coming up.
No, I mean, they were delicate, I guess. I guess it was a woman's touch.
All right.
But they always had the same reaction, which kind of pissed me off. Like, okay, first of all, I do feel violated, but I'm not going to be that guy in that moment. Now I sound like somebody who's trying to get a job in Hollywood. Yeah. But, like, they would always they would come up there out of nowhere, and then they'd scream. Like, what did you think was going to be there? And now I wear something under it because I have my children and everything, right? But like,
probably a good call.
The reason I tell that story, Kimmy, if a woman walked up to your husband and went full palm on dong.
Palm on dong?
Palm on dong, which is one of my favorite
Everybody
Asian golfers.
Everybody's going to palm dong tonight.
You ruined my golf joke.
I'm kidding.
If you watched a woman go straight,
squeeze his penis,
palm on dong in front of your face, you would not step in there.
I would be so shocked in that moment. I don't know what I would do.
I don't think he would be shocked.
We'd both probably look at each other like, what is this that's happening right here?
Older women on like celebration days like that are so bold. Because every time it happened, it was always...
Because they think they're bulletproof. And they kind of are.
They are, because I didn't do anything about
it. Right.
But
and
like,
they know it.
All these women were over 50. It was never the ones you wanted to go palm on dong.
And they've never touched their husbands like that.
I always assumed these women were single. I never thought about that.
Well, I'm guessing they're single.
Well, no, you're probably
widowed or something.
Widowed. They're 50.
You can be widowed at 50.
I understand you can. It's not a common thing.
No.
Way to ruin the conversation, you dick.
No, I mean, they're all types of women. All types of horny old bag.
Fun festivals, Kimmy's husband's attractive, having a bunch of beers. Yeah, dead husbands.
They don't have like the marching widows and that thing?
We got a dynamite happy St. Patrick's Day kind of breaking for you this morning here on CMF.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, we know that these crimes happen.
Okay.
But I think we underestimated how much money there is in these thefts.
Oh, so there's bank.
I don't know. Either these guys know something that most of us don't.
Yeah.
Or this is the saddest journey to try and make money illegally you've ever heard of in your life. You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So, Tommy, back on March 11th, there was an oil theft, overnight oil theft.
Oil.
Like cooking oil.
Cooking oil.
Cooking oil. From a business in Perry on South Main Street.
Ooh, how much did they get?
Well, we don't know that. But the Sheriff's Department, Tommy, says out that way, there have been about half a dozen oil thefts in the area over the last couple of weeks.
Is cooking oil really valuable now?
So, here's the thing. We have heard stories of people from our area stealing cooking oil from businesses overnight. But every time they're arrested, they are from our area.
Yeah.
Now, the Perry, the Sheriff's Department out that way says the crime was committed by two men in a Penske box truck. And wouldn't you know, a couple of days later, in that area, these two men were found driving a Penske box truck who sheriffs believe were responsible for this crime.
Yeah.
Here is what's crazy about this. These two men, ages 24 and 27, are from Yonkers, New York.
So they're way downstate there in New York City.
You got, hike?
Yeah.
These greasy bastards.
For those who don't know, that's a five-hour drive.
I mean, you're right outside the city.
Yeah.
So police believe these men have been traveling across the state.
So they've just been hitting places along the way.
Stealing oil.
And then they sell it to restaurants?
I don't know where they're selling it, under the cover of darkness. And that's what I want to try and figure out here. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. How much money is there in cooking oil theft?
Yeah, what's it being used for?
Great question.
I would think like you would need so much of it to make money.
Right.
But, Tommy, these guys are willing to travel 5 hours to go do it? Maybe it's more valuable than we thought it
was. And I don't even know, like, when you go to a restaurant, is it in, like, a big drum they dump?
So yeah, empty it out, like a tank or something.
There's a vat in the back, and normally they have a padlock on them because these restaurants will have contracts with businesses that do this legally.
Yeah.
They will come and take the oil, and I don't know if they pay the restaurant pays them, whatever, but that's how it normally goes. And, yeah, these boxes will be pilfered in the middle of the night.
Dang.
But these guys are coming from New York City to steal all.
All.
All. What is this stuff worth?
The old Crisco gang's back at it.
What is it worth and who are you selling it to?
Jenna, it's another great question.
I mean, the only people that would use like that much oil would be a restaurant.
Right. What else taking it from?
Who else would use it?
Okay, so I don't know.
But world's biggest orgy?
Can you use it again? Is it used?
You're going to get a rash. It's not that oil. You don't want to use it as lube.
No, you could use cooking oil on your thing.
Your wife's privates are going to smell like a French fry, which now that we bring it up, that's not the worst thing. I'm going down again. Kimmy did not like that one.
No, most women don't.
Okay, so maybe when you do it. So You couldn't use the oil the way that it is to cook with it again.
Yeah, that's what I mean, you can't use it again, I would think.
I always assumed that these companies that took the oil used it, processed it, and made it into biodiesel fuel.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
Flip that oil?
I just assumed. But that's
a lot of work involved.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
like, if you broke into a place to steal the oil, why don't you steal something easy?
Well, because you're not breaking the building. The oil's outside of the building.
Right, true. Yeah. All right.
But I guess the question then would be, if it has to be turned into something else.
You sell it to Willie Nelson?
Who is willing to buy this stuff from these people that are stealing it?
So is there a black market for this oil?
There would have to be.
Yeah.
If this many people are getting arrested for doing it, and these guys are willing to drive all this way, what does it become? Where does it go?
Right.
Are there restaurants we're going to that are buying secondhand oil that they're cooking with?
Oh, could be.
Would that work? Because I'll be honest with you, I used fryers back in the day. I would dump stuff in those vats back in the day. I don't know. They just told me to change the oil. I didn't know what they had. You know what I mean? They didn't tell me. I just kept cooking with it.
Would you be saving enough to make it worth buying oil from this sketchy company, like wherever you're buying
sketch
it from?
Oil?
Like, I would think as a restaurant, you might be a little worried about that, where it's coming from.
Well, Kimmy, somebody's buying it because this is not an uncommon story. What's uncommon about this, again, is the fact that they are 5 hours away and allegedly committed this crime in Perry.
All right, so the only thing outside of cooking it, or using it for fuel, what else could you use cooking oil for?
I don't know.
That way you could make money.
I'm not sure. Kimmy's on it right now. She's Googling.
By the way, when did you go into the military?
I got a haircut.
Oh, my God. Did you get a haircut?
Yeah, what?
He got the cop cut.
I didn't see it.
I did not get the cop cut.
Oh, you got the cop cut.
I got a wool hat on. It makes my hair look weird.
You look like a state trooper.
Well, why don't you watch your mouth then, huh? Step out
okay.
of the car.
So you guys, I mean, you kind of weren't wrong. It says, used cooking oil can be repurposed for soap making, biodiesel production, animal feed composting.
Oh, there it is.
Animal feed.
There it is.
Lamp oil.
Big old greasy pigs.
So the farmers of the world and the lamp operators of America. It's got to be the farmers.
Farmer fuel, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, with the farming, I would understand why a farmer, if it costs more money coming from somewhere else, would be like, yeah, we'll buy it from you, right? I'll support this crime. So I would think, like, as we talk about these two guys again, 24, 27, they were arrested in Perry driving a Penske box truck after police in that area say there were several oil thefts from the back of restaurants, used oil that was waiting to be picked up by companies that have contracts with these restaurants.
Yeah.
And these men are from Yonkers. Authorities believe that these guys have been traveling across the state under the cover of darkness, stealing cooking oil from these padlocked vats behind restaurants. Even if there is serious money in this, which there would have to be for these guys.
Something,
I would think so.
The biggest drawback, outside of potential jail time, would be the smell.
Mm. Cooking oil smell?
Well, think about...
You're going to get it on you.
Even if you're not getting it on you. Let's say you find a way to not get hit with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what a box truck full of used cooking oil would smell
like. I mean, it would just smell like a restaurant, really. The back of a restaurant, really? No?
I don't know.
What is it?
I've always figured that too. Does it smell like something?
It smells
is it nasty.
It smells like an older version of whatever you cooked in that oil.
Okay.
And like, here's the thing: like, these guys are stealing from wherever they can get it from. I would assume if the allegations are true. So you'd be mixing Chinese food oil with fish fry oil with like chicken wing
burger,
oil,
a lot of chicken wings and fish fries,
all that stuff. Right. That would be the worst possible mix, and you're driving for hours. With the stuff in the back of the truck. Like, if you've ever worked in a fast food restaurant, back house, kitchen, just standing over that fryer, it gets into your clothes, hair, eyebrows, beard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's just cooking in that room for a couple hours a day. You're living in a van with
it. But is it sealed up, though, right?
You think these guys have a high-end operation?
No, but I mean, like, it would be, like, capped.
Maybe.
Like in a jug?
Who knows?
Type of thing?
I have no idea. I don't know what they're doing. Even if it's in a jug, you're still going to smell
it. Sloshing around.
Bro, oil. I'll eat anything that comes out of it, but I don't want to be anywhere near that oil. Come on, you've worked in kitchens that deep fried stuff?
Yeah.
You don't remember that smell?
But I don't remember it being that, because it was an open area. It had a hood, you know, so I mean, there was like ventilation.
No, like there are some smells that stick with you for like the rest of your life. Like getting hit in the face by that smell when you drop something into a deep fryer, that's one that's going to stay with me forever.
Yeah. I can remember like the deli always had that kind of smell, but it didn't bother me. But again, I wasn't locked in a truck for 8 hours.
Exactly. And yeah, at the time, you got other things going on. Maybe you're not paying attention to it. I'm telling you.
But maybe,
man,
you get used to it if you're like that. Like garbage men get used to that smell.
No, but that's even worse because you're not going to be able to smell it on you anymore. So now you're going to be the guy that smells like Chinese oil.
Yeah, but at least you're making bank.
Okay. What do you spend it on? Women that don't want to go near your oily ass?
I'm looking up like how much you can even make off of this. Doesn't seem like it seems like you would need a lot.
Okay.
To make anything, because it says it ranges from like 25 cents to 50 cents per gallon you can get for used cooking oil.
Well, unless there's like 100, okay, let's say there's a, let's guess, 100 gallons in the back, that's still only, what, 25 bucks?
Oh.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Unless, I mean, this is, like I said, quick Google search, so maybe it's worth more, but.
So are these guys just really dumb?
All right, I got a dumb question.
Unless it's, they're getting something specific that's worth more, I don't know.
So like, certain drugs you got to cook. Correct, that are very popular.
Sure, right sure, now. Sure. Yeah.
Can you use that as the base to like make meth? Like,
could you have asked a more old man question?
Can I mean, you make, because you have to cook meth? So, do you use the oil to cook the meth?
The only,
and then you get like deep fried meth.
Oh, you're talking chicken fried meth?
That sounds pretty good. If I was gonna do meth, I would do chicken fried meth.
No, they wrote that song about it.
Oh, chicken fried meth. No. That's why Beth's face is so effed up.
What the hell?
Well, she did. She got meth face.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, could you use it in drug production?
I've never heard of anyone producing drugs with cooking oil.
Well, I don't know how you make meth, but I know you cook it.
Okay. I don't think there's oil involved.
Maybe they got a cheaper way of doing it.
Deep fried.
Just like how the Pakistanis figured out how to make missiles cheap.
I'm not saying that deep fried meth wouldn't be an American standard.
No, because my point is, since there's no profit in selling it,
yeah,
you use it to make something that's valuable.
Okay, maybe. That's
all I'm asking.
These guys could also own a farm, maybe.
They could own a farm, right? Or they could just be dumb.
I'm going to go with
But they got
dumb.
A box truck. I mean, it looks like they had an operation.
Again, box truck, not hard. We talked 2 weeks ago about people that are just swiping Penske trucks so they don't have GPSs on them.
But, I mean, you know, and by the way, it's also a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
This caper.
Well, these guys are young, 24, 27.
Yeah, you got a good back.
Good old oily back for your chicken fried meth. So I guess what we learned here,
yeah,
there ain't enough money in oil stealing to make it worth it. No, because to your point, they were only arrested for petty larceny, so that's under $1,000 worth of theft. So you're right, Kim.
Christ, yeah.
Somebody said maybe you could get a few bucks per gallon, but even still, that wouldn't be much.
Yeah, because let's say you go $3 a gallon.
Yeah.
Even at 100, right?
Yeah.
$300.
Right. And then I got to put gas in the truck.
So, yeah, I mean, to make it back to Yonkers.
Burning through fuel.
Trip.
And it's two guys, so you're splitting that.
Right.
And you got to find someone that's going to buy. Yeah, okay, we're out. We're out of the oil stealing game, everybody.
We're upside down on our oil caper.
We're moving on.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the time of year, Tommy.
What's that?
For Rochester traditions.
What's coming up?
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day today.
Oh, yeah.
Great parade tradition on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We got a few more weeks of the traditional Rochester Friday fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
And with Easter around the corner, there are so many specific Rochester traditions that families look forward to. But one that's been around for almost 40 years.
What is?
Won't be happening anymore.
What is it?
Well, let me put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you love this, you're going to have a hard time replacing
it. Oh, man.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So it was announced over the weekend, Tommy.
Yeah, what's that?
The legendary Gaetano's Bakery and Catering.
Oh, the old bakery?
Will be shutting its doors for good.
Oh, man.
The final delivery was yesterday.
Oh.
The last loaf.
You missed out.
That's right.
If you're just hearing about this now.
Yeah.
By the way, wasn't that your nickname in high school, the last loaf? Now, I know there are some folks that may be a little confused right now, thinking that Gaetano's had already closed. Their retail store, where they sold directly to the public, closed its doors in 2020. But they've been baking and selling to different stores around the greater Rochester area for the last 5 years.
Right.
The bakery has been around since 1985. And if they're known for anything specific,
what's that?
It's what they do for Easter. Their Easter breads and their St. Joseph's breads.
Oh, St. Joseph. I don't even know. What is St. Joseph bread?
Ah, it's hard to describe.
It's not like Italian bread, right?
All that bread is kind of like Italian bread. Right? It's Italian bakery. Right. You know it if you saw it.
So no St. Joe bread.
No Easter bread, no St. Joe bread. So like those two things from Gaetano's are Rochester staples for so many families.
Yeah.
And I am heartbroken that Gaetano's is shutting their doors, have shut their doors.
Mm.
But I do have one question. You couldn't hold out for one more month.
One more Easter.
Funny. Yeah, you would think like they do like a big Easter blowout sale, get it all out, and then shut the door.
We're right there, guys.
It's the biggest time of year.
I wonder because it's so much work to do. They were like, I don't want to go through another year of that.
Look, I get it.
With your holy bread.
I get it, and I'm sure this decision was not made lightly. Obviously, we don't know their financial situation. But here's the thing, man. Mm-hmm. I would think if they made an announcement, because I would assume that maybe the cost of food, eggs especially.
Oh, yeah, the eggs.
Maybe what's playing into this. But if they made an announcement saying, look, we're going to have to raise the price for this year, but this will be the last year we do it, they still would have sold
out. Gone and stocked up.
Right. I mean, I don't know. What makes this story the most heartbreaking? It's not just losing an iconic Italian bakery. Why? I just wanted, give me one more Easter. One more Easter. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is Rochester done with the traditional Italian bakery?
They are dropping.
It's another one, right?
Yeah.
They're going down all over the place.
Well, I do wonder, because like I'm thinking of people like my grandparents and my great-grandparents. Like, they were so loyal to like one or two bakeries that's where they'd go out of their way to get stuff for every holiday, every family get together. And I don't know if people have that same loyalty. Like, they may still love those bakeries because their grandparents always shopped there. But I don't know if they're going out of their way as much as our grandparents did to just buy from that place.
Look, I mean, they're obviously not, based on the financial situations. And I got to be honest, like, all the places I went to as a kid between Greece and Gates, I think Savastano's is the only one that's left, like, operating. Got some of their mini pizzas for the parade on Saturday.
Ooh.
Nothing says Happy Irish Day like a mini pizzas from Savastano's. Kimmy, did the grocery stores kill the local Italian bakery?
Could be that. I mean, yeah. I mean, you go to Wegmans, and probably most of what you need is right there.
Tommy, I know you think you love Wegmans, and you think they could do no wrong.
Yes,
but I do think that they and Tops killed the local bakery, and I don't think they can offer what we lost in these traditional Italian bakeries.
The gruff attitude,
okay,
or the lack of customer service. Next, come on, lady, make up your mind.
Your dad was running an Italian bakery?
Every baker sounded like my father.
So, Kimmy, here's what's weird.
Uh-huh.
Is the man that sits across from me is a traditional Sicilian Italian, a man who goes to these places, a man who bought snails from a bakery here in town to bring to his father in Florida.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for as much as a bitch as you are, you can appreciate a good Italian bakery.
Oh, yeah, I can.
Yet you love Wegmans. You are so brainwashed by Wegmans so much, you refuse to admit that they cannot do what these bakeries can
do. They do the same thing. And probably better, because these people train all over the world.
Okay, you keep saying that. They don't send every person making $15 an hour to
Tuscany. No, but they do send the top people.
Yeah, like the one guy who comes home and shows. And that's great. Awesome.
They send these people to like Paris to train.
Wegmans doesn't have the ambiance of an Italian bakery. They don't have the unique offerings of the Italian bakeries. They don't have the giant sandwiches and weird-ass cookies that you can't describe why you like them, but you'll murder 10 people to get them.
They don't have the crumbling parking lots or the crooked stairs on the way in.
But that's part of the ambiance.
Yeah, I love twisting at an angle to go get my baguettes.
When you walk into an Italian bakery, it is a connection with a different time. And it's still that way for the places that are open. Like, you walk through those doors, the smell is unique to any other place in the universe.
The women behind the counter are related.
Yes, but the... No.
And they go, and they all look the same, but it's like their age. Like I want to tell the girl in the end, I go, you know, that's what you're going to look like all the way over here in about 10 years.
You think they don't know? They know. They're trying to enjoy it while
they all look like angry hawks. Hot!
No, but like the characters in the Italian bakery.
There are characters. Now, Wegmans does not have the characters.
And that's some of the best part about the Italian bakery. Like, you will not say it out loud because you don't want to hurt all your, quote, friends' feelings who are paid to be nice to you at Wegmans. But as great as Wegmans and Tops are with their offerings, it cannot touch the traditional sub-deli bakery that we had here over and over again in Rochester.
But obviously people ain't going to them. Like, nobody cares.
It is weird. I mean, is it financial?
Like, your daughters don't care.
Like,
when's the last time, you know, you had a bakery tradition with your daughters where every Sunday you went out and got bagels?
No, you're right. I screwed that up. I really screwed that up.
No, you didn't.
No, I should have.
You didn't screw up. Life changed. Like, you're way more involved in your kids' lives, so you don't have time to be jerking around the deli.
Can I say something, though? You bring up bagels. Those are still thriving.
Yeah, like, no, she's right.
All those places, all those 12
corners,
well-known bagel spots, like they, you can't, if you don't get there early enough, like, don't even bother.
She makes a really good point.
There's a line around the block.
So why did those stick?
I don't know.
And the Italian bakeries didn't? Unless these Italian bakeries, it's not so much financial. They just want to get out of the business.
Yeah, I mean, the old folks aged out. And by the way, bacon's tough. Like, do people?
Hey, will you Google, is baking tough?
Oh, you got to get up in the middle of the night. Yeah. Are we running out of bakers? Like, people don't want to do it anymore.
Okay, so to your point, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about Gaetano's, the legendary Westside Italian bakery, opens since 1985. They closed their retail store in 2020, but they had been selling their products.
Yeah.
Most popular, their Easter bread and their St. Joseph's bread.
So they became like wholesalers.
Different, you know, Rochester stores would sell them. They announced their final shipment was yesterday. They're done. They've shut it down. Like 3 weeks before Easter. You can't hold on. So you brought up, do they have the people to cook?
Right.
So Donuts Delight, which is owned by Salvatore.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. They opened up a couple of months ago a second location on Ridge Road in Greece. It was a big deal. It was the old doghouse. Remember that bar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, near the tub, the old tub.
Yeah.
So they remade the doghouse. They put all this money into it. They were opened up for a little while. They had to close it. And the reason they said they had to close it is they couldn't find the people to get up early enough to make the donuts.
Yeah, because you got to work in the middle of the night, basically.
Yeah.
It's our schedule.
Yeah.
Even earlier.
So it looks like these, you know what the problem is.
Yeah, I hear it.
Nobody wants to make the donuts anymore.
Nobody wants to bake.
You know, there's a commercial and everything back in the day, way before Kimmy's time.
Yeah. And you wonder, too, like, did the coffee, like Dunkin' and Starbucks also hurt them?
Yeah, I mean,
because you can go get a bagel, you can get your breakfast stuff there.
Yeah, but I mean, those people also have to be up to, unless they're not, it's not the same labor intensity nationally, locally.
I don't know.
Look, when you say I didn't make a mistake with my kids, I appreciate you trying to argue for your point and pretending like you're complimenting me. But it is a mistake because if you don't support places like this, they disappear. And this is one of those examples, again, that you don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. Because when all of these Italian bakeries eventually go away, if they go away, there will be no way to replicate that ever again. It needs, it's one of those things that needs to be continually carried on. You can't go backwards with it. It just wouldn't work.
But I don't know, like, do your daughters appreciate that charm? Like, because here's my point. So when I used to go to those bakeries and those delis, those people reminded me of my actual relatives.
Yeah.
Because all my relatives sounded like that. They look like that. They dress like that. They had that attitude. Like, your daughters are removed from that.
Yeah.
Like, those people are gone in their lives, just like they're gone from my life. So I didn't even know, like, if they would even get the connection of going to one of these places.
I think if you went there enough, though, you would kind of find that connection because it becomes like just a familiar local spot. You kind of get to know the people that work there.
Well,
I mean, a different type of connection, but I think you can still form that bond with that place if you go enough.
Well, like, okay, my brother married an Italian girl.
Yeah.
Right, we went and had corned beef and cabbage at his house yesterday. You want a good time, have corned beef and cabbage with Italians that are trying it for the first time. It's like watching a baby eat a lemon. They're going to like it? Hey, you liked it. So he takes his kids to Rubino's every weekend.
Oh, okay.
And like that's like their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So my nieces are going to grow up like with that surrounding them.
It's just a matter
of that's an old school joint.
Yeah, I love Rubino's. But he goes out of his way, you know, at least two or three times a month to go to Rubino's with the kids. Last year he wore a green Rubino's t-shirt to St. Patrick's Day, which I had a problem with historically.
A fat guy in a sub-shirt?
Well, no, that's fine. That's standard. Italian t-shirt at the St. Patrick's Day parade. Spitting on our grandmother's grave.
You are.
No, I mean, in all sincerity.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a time where the last one goes.
Yeah.
And there's going to be nowhere to go to have that experience anymore. And the sandwiches won't be submarine-sized. And the half-moon cookies won't have that authentic taste. And yes, you won't get yelled at by a gruff, fat, hairy guy with flour all over himself and half an apron, who then is going to offer you a free cookie at the end because, you know, he's a little bipolar. But that's okay. That's why we like him. And when that day happens, it's going to be heartbreaking.
No, you know what's going to happen?
What?
In 5 or 6 years, one of your hipster doofuses buddies who bombed out in the cereal game is going to open up one of these joints, and you're all going to flock to it on Sunday morning.
Hipsters are like in their 40s now.
What's that?
I said hipsters are like in their 40s now.
Yeah, but they'll save the business.
No, again, like I said, I think this is one of those rare things where you can't go backwards.
It's hard. It would be hard to replicate.
You can say that about everything that came back. You can say that about vinyl. You can say that about a million things like vintage t-shirts. I mean, these things are, it comes back and forth.
Vinyl is an item. The t-shirt is an item.
Mm-hmm.
Even bars like, okay, let's use Patron Saint for an example. It's a new
restaurant. Yeah, they went throwback.
Bar, steakhouse downtown. Yeah. It looks like.
We got two speakeasies in this town.
Which is funny because, like, do they know you can legally drink?
I know. It's a little weird.
You need a password to get into the one in Fairport. Yeah. Or I can go to this other place where the door's open. I don't get
it. But people like that stuff.
I understand. But the point I'm making is, like, unless you grow up in that atmosphere, and continue the recipes they have, I don't think you can
I think
it
you could pull it off. You give it some cool, you know, homogenized name that kind of envelops the whole thing. You know?
What would that be? God, you're so good at this. Hey, here comes
this
Tommy's
is
business
your
plan.
Idea.
What do we call it? Beaky Italy Goey Timey. They also have bubble.
Tony Doe. Tony Doe.
Tony Doe.
Doe. So Tony D's has popped in your head. You went with Doe instead?
Tony Doe.
Tony Doe. Shut up.
Come on in for the bigotry.
No, it's got to be an Italian name with a vowel at the end, with more syllables than necessary.
Oh.
Savastano, Gaetano, Galicios.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.